Well, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I know that we already prayed, but we're going to pray before we dive into God's word. So let's do that now. Again, gracious Father, we are in awe of you. Thank you for allowing us to just mine into Psalm 145 this week. Thank you that your word is true, that your promises are everlasting, your loving kindness is everlasting. Thank you that you are God and there is no other. Thank you for the time that we got to spend, Lord, just looking at all of the ways that we can praise and adore you. And we pray, Lord, that as we mine deeper into your character and your nature, that that would be just continually at the forefront of our minds, always on our lips, that we would be praising and adoring you, worshiping you, Lord, in our heart, in our mind, in our actions. And Lord, that that would translate into our prayer life as well. Again, thank you for each of these ladies and the time that you allowed them to spend in your word this week. Bless them for that. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.
So you have your notes page. You'll notice there's a lot of more blank spaces this time, and that's on purpose because this was a lot of what did you find, and so I didn't want to just tell you what I found. I wanted to hear all about what you found. But this week in Lesson 3, we began to look at the aspect of praise and adoration and honoring God in our prayers. And we got to do that through the example David gives us in Psalm 145. Now, if you've been using your verse mapping to help with memorization, let me find it there, you would have already work through the definition of praise, because remember all the way back to like last week in lesson two, in verse two, I will praise your name forever and ever, and so you would have worked through that. The word for praise is Strong's 1984, and again, this is on your notes here. It's the word halal. It's a verb. It means to shine, celebrate, rave, make a show, boast, exult. The idea of this verb is joyful, verbal exaltation of God and his character. The word hallelujah is drawn from this verb. It means praise the Lord. Now, this word does have a spectrum of meaning. It can mean exultant praise, rising from the heart toward the Lord. It can refer to a celebratory shine, radiating light and reflection of divine glory. And as I was thinking of this, it reminded me of, you know that little song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine." I don't sing, sorry. But you know the tune. It can also refer to open boasting. And this can either be righteous boasting, as boasting in the Lord, or it can be sinful boasting, as in boasting in yourself or in idols or in human power. And context will tell you what type of halal this is. But the primary thrust of this word, especially in the context of Psalms 145, is to summon God's covenant people into joyful public exaltation of his character and works. The true object, the object of true halal, is always the Lord's name, his deeds, and his attributes. Adoration can be defined as intense admiration, culminating in reverence and worship. It's the act of paying honor to God. We saw that in the first couple paragraphs of our lesson. And right in day 2-3, adoration, Denise wrote, is the act of paying honor to God. Adoration differs from praise, although the two are related. One source wrote, adoration or worship should be reserved for God alone. Praise can be a part of adoration, but adoration goes beyond praise. Adoration gets to the heart of who we are. To truly worship God, this source wrote, we must let go of our self-worship. We must be willing to humble ourselves before God, surrender every part of our lives to his control, and adore him for who he is, not just what he has done. So we talked a little bit last time about loving God for all the blessings that he gives. The idea of adoration is loving God because he's God. And so that is the depth of that. And remember, his acts always flow from his nature. They always point back to who he is. I kept thinking back to when God was revealing his name to Moses. I am. Tell them I am has sent you. And that is who we worship, is the great I am.
Yes.
So open your Bible to Psalms 145 if you haven't done so already. We're going to read this. You can follow along as I read. Psalm 145. Aleph. I will exalt you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Bet. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Gimel. Great is Yahweh, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Dalet. One generation shall laud your works to another, and shall declare your mighty deeds. Hey. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on the words of your wondrous deeds, I will muse. Vav. Men shall speak of the strength of your fearsome acts, and I will recount your greatness. Zion, they shall pour forth the memory of your abundant goodness, and I will shout joyfully of your righteousness. Chet, I'm not sure exactly, I can't do the... Yahweh is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. Tet. Yahweh is good to all, and his compassions are over all his works. Yud. All your works, O Yahweh, shall give thanks to you, and your holy ones shall bless your name. Kaf. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your might. Lamed. They shall make known to the sons of men his mighty deeds and the glory of the majesty of his kingdom. I think this is Nun. I'm looking at Aliva. How do you pronounce that?
Mem.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures from generation to every generation. Semet. Yahweh sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Ayin, the eyes of all wait on you, and you give them their food in due time. Pei, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Sadeh, Yahweh is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Kuf. Yahweh is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Resh. He will work out the desires of those who fear him. He will hear their cry for help and he will save them. Shin. Yahweh keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Tav. My mouth will speak the praise of Yahweh, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. So look at day two. Day two, three, number three. The question is, what does the psalmist ascribe to Yahweh? And before we jump into that, we need to define ascribe. How many of you had to look that up? I'm glad I'm not alone. Ascribe. Ascribe means to acknowledge and state qualities or characteristics that belong to someone. To ascribe reflects the idea of intentionally acknowledging qualities that belong to God and recognizing Him as the source of these qualities and honoring Him for them. So, now that we have that understanding of ascribe, what does the psalmist ascribe or intentionally acknowledge as belonging to Yahweh?
Strength, absolute goodness, righteous, compassionate, gracious, mighty, truthful, and you can go on and on and on.
What else?
He hears, He saves, He keeps, He sustains. He's good to all. His mercies are over all.
Slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, faithful in all His words, kind in all His works, satisfies every living thing.
Yes, yes. Was it helpful to just meditate on all of those verses and pull out those things that belong to God? I mean, we start off with He's God and He's King. So He's deity. That belongs to Him. True deity belongs to Him. Kingship belongs to Him. Greatness belongs to Him. Splendor, majesty, strength. I loved all of those things. Righteousness, holy. In leaders meeting, Debbie Williams is the best at coming up with like short little, well, here's the answer. And so she said, in a nutshell, ascribes to God alone, the psalmist ascribes to God alone unsearchable greatness. So if you looked at every single one of those words that you described, unsearchable greatness in His deity, unsearchable greatness in His holiness, unsearchable greatness in His kingship, unsearchable greatness in His rule. And you could go on and on and on. And I loved that. So that's what I put on your notes. Unsearchable greatness. And you can fill in all the other spaces with all of the things that that we looked at. So then number four, how frequently does the psalmist praise God?
Every day.
In every sentence and in every verse.
Yeah. In every sentence and every verse. And then someone said, every day, right? Remember verse one, I will exalt you, I will bless your name forever and ever. And then verse two, every day. I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. We were talking in leaders meeting how we kind of start off the day really strong with praising the Lord and spending our time with the Lord, and then we get rolling into the things we're doing, and then pretty soon we're like, I haven't thought about God in like 3 hours. And so we repented from that. Day two, three, number five. Day two, three, number five. We were looking at the glory of Yahweh's kingdom and what is the purpose in speaking of the glory of Yahweh's kingdom. And I wanted to highlight this because I thought it was important. When we encounter references to Yahweh's kingdom in Scripture, it's essential to consider the surrounding context to understand what aspect of His kingdom is being highlighted. In specifically the context of Psalm 145, we need to understand God's kingdom here as a very broad sense. This is God's universal sovereign rule over all creation, before creation, in creation, and on into eternity. So when we're talking about God's kingdom here, we're talking about his rule, his sovereign rule in that broad, broad sense. And there's a lot of aspects of the kingdom that we can get into, but just focusing on the context of Psalm 145. So verse 11 says, "They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your might." And then verse 12 gives the purpose. It explains why. "To make known to the sons of men his mighty deeds and the glory of the majesty or splendor or honor or excellency of his kingdom, of his rule, his reigning over all things." Historically, God launched the nation of Israel into the world scene with an international agenda. And I think that's important when we think about how David is talking about God's rule. Israel was to be the megaphone to the world about who the one true God is. They were to be a witness of his greatness as well as his eternal reign and sovereign rule over all things. They were to actively share his mighty deeds and the splendor of his kingdom with all the nations, so that the entire world would know and acknowledge his power and his majesty and his ultimate authority. So when we think of kingdom in this sense from Psalm 145, I hope that we're going into this, God is majestic and he is ruling, and we want the whole world to know that. And that was David's point. Israel was to launch that message. So then looking at number six, what distinguishes Yahweh's kingdom from that of any other kingdom? What distinguishes Yahweh's rule from any other person's rule?
This kingdom is forever.
Everlasting. Right. Others come and go. What else? What else did we think of?
No other kingdom, no other God, no other king can give security, protection, love, direction, food, water, and eternal life except the creator of all things.
Right. So in that rulership, God is all sufficient. And all the other rulers, not so much. Not so much. They're always dependent on something else. Right? Anything else?
Well, they will be destroyed. Just like we were looking at those other verses in verse 20 in 145, he will destroy the wicked, and so they will be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and God will obviously never be, because he's eternal. I love that that verse goes on, verse 13, to say, "And his dominion endures from generation to every generation." Verse 13 declares that God's kingdom is everlasting, his dominion endures through all the generations, obviously meaning his rule is eternal. And like we said, he's not subject to the rise and fall of history. He didn't inherit his reign, he reigns. It goes back to the I am, right? Mm-hmm. Other kingdoms inherit or conquer to get it. God is. He reigns.
And also, like, kings get always get counsel from somebody. Kings always get counsel from somebody, but...
Kings always need counsel.
From somebody.
From somebody.
They get it from different places for all, you know, what they do, but God doesn't get counsel from nobody.
Right. Right. I loved thinking through, you know, all the ramifications of his rule being eternal, and that it's not affected by time, it's not affected by culture, it's not affected by anything, which means his promises aren't affected by time and culture or anything, right? That's why we can declare his word will never return void. It will always accomplish his good pleasure. And the implications of that are just, they're mind-boggling when we think of the safety and security, and goes back to what Carol was saying. All of the necessities of life, all of the spiritual necessities are found in him, and he's eternal, and he's always reigning. No one will ever usurp him. Kind of amazing things to just meditate and think on.
Mm-hmm. Like Isaiah 40 talks about the council, like, you know, the question, or who has encompassed the spirit of Yahweh, or as his counselor has informed him, with whom did he take counsel, and who gave him understanding? And just keep going on. There's no one.
Right, because he is. He is I am. I love that.
And what a thing to constantly meditate on, to feed your trust in him. Like, what's more trustworthy than that? What's more,
right?
You know,
right?
What can give you more comfort in knowing that the kingdom that we are citizens of is eternal and never changes? No matter what time, space, or matter, you know, like, it doesn't matter.
And yeah, when we think about those elements of praise and adoration, praising, extolling, joyfully extolling, and then adoration is this heartfelt worship. These truths about God really drive that. Mm-hmm. And the more I think we understand, we'll never plumb the depths of God, obviously, but the more we seek to know everything we can know about him, and the more we seek to be in his presence, the more praise and adoration grows and overflows, and that's the hope. Know God and praise him. So then we looked at number seven. Number seven, we were asked to identify the elements of praise and adoration verse by verse. And in your notes page, I gave you a whole section. We're going to do this a little differently today. So you'll be filling some of those things in. But I thought it would be good to bring up, so in leaders meeting yesterday, we had a variety of answers to this question. How many of you read, identify the elements, and thought, what am I doing?
Yeah.
See? This is so good.
I started to write them out, and then I was like, and then I went to column form. Like,
right?
And then I was like, me and Lonnie were like, okay.
So some of us read this question as, so think in your mind, this is how we were reading the question. Describe those things of God that prompt praise and adoration in each verse. That's how some of us read the question. What are the things of God that prompt praise and adoration? Like his greatness, his splendor, the splendor of his majesty, all of those things. The rest of us read this as identify the elements of praise and adoration, such as recognition. We are recognizing God. That's how we are praising and adoring him. Those are those elements. So exaltation, lauding his works, speaking well of God. So we kind of focus on the elements word, recognizing his beauty and his majesty.
So I did that first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, oh, well, maybe it's... So then I went back and then I go, but no, then that's the same as number two on day one, or whatever, day two, three.
Right.
So then I go, I just left them both. It's got to be one or the other.
Yes, yes. So my point in that whole big, giant, long explanation is, were you in God's word?
Yeah.
Were you thinking about God?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So however you read the question is good, right? However you read the question. So what we're going to do now, this is why I left this all blank, is there's more than 21 of us, but we're going to go around the room and we're going to say verse 1, and then I'm going to point. And you're going to tell me what you wrote for verse 1, and you can either write down what you wrote or write down what the other person is saying. And it might be either of those things. It might be an element, or it might be the actual reason we're praising God. And that's okay. If you don't want to share, just say pass, and it'll go to the next person. Okay? You don't have to talk out loud. It's okay. Okay, so verse 1.
You want me to say the verse?
No, just tell me what you wrote.
I wrote, I will exalt God.
Exalt God. Exalt okay. God. Verse.
And bless.
Exalt.
For adoration. For bless. Adoration, yeah.
Exalt and bless. Okay. Verse 2. Honor Beth, one of you.
I have bless and praise.
Bless and praise. Verse 3.
His greatness no one can fathom.
Greatness no one can fathom. Verse 4.
I said, one generation will laud or praise your works to another and declare your mighty deeds.
So laud and declare, yes. Verse 5.
Pass.
Chris.
Splendor, majesty, and deeds.
Splendor, majesty, deeds. Verse 6.
Speak and recount.
Speak and recount. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Good. Jen, we need to pause for just a second for those of us who are trying to write. You've got to give us just a moment.
Oh. Sorry. I'm just getting all excited.
What was the answer for the number, whatever, 6?
Speak who did 6?
Oh, speak and recount.
Speak and recount. Speak and recount. And these are just things we're noticing. So you might have noticed something different, and that's okay. I just thought it'd be fun to get all y'all talking, which is super cool. Okay, we good? What verse are we on?
7. Pour forth and sing about your abundant goodness and righteousness.
Pour forth and sing abundant righteousness.
8 and 12. I went the other direction that you were talking about. I had merciful, which means compassionate, tender affection, and to love deeply.
Merciful, tender, compassionate, loved deeply. What verse are we on now?
9.
I just have good, tender mercies and his works.
Good, tender mercies, his works. 10.
Give thanks and bless.
Give thanks and bless. 11. I know, I gotta flip that to your page.
Speak of the glory and talk about his might.
So speak and talk of his glory and majesty. Where are we at? 12? 12. Joanne, are you speaking or passing?
I do this totally different than everybody else. I put spreading his word.
Spreading his word. Yes, absolutely. That's an element. That's one way we praise and adore him, by spreading his word. Good job. Good job.
Thank you.
Okay. Front table.
13. Is it just?
Yes. I ran out of room.
You're everlasting. Everlasting. Okay, next verse.
Yahweh sustains.
Sustains. Next verse.
He's the provider.
Provider. Yes. Yes.
16?
Yes.
Satisfies the desire of every living creature.
Satisfies the desire of every living creature.
Righteous and holy.
Righteous and holy. So I think we're at 8. Are we at 18 now?
Yes.
18.
He is near to all who call on him.
Near to all who call upon him. Do you have that, Tom?
Yeah, working out desires of those who fear him, and he hears their cries for help.
Mm-hmm. And saves them. Hears cries for help, saves. Yes.
20. Keeper of all who love him.
Keeper of all who love him. Yeah.
But also you could add, because he will destroy all the wicked, justice, justified with the word. Mm-hmm. He just, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Will be in his presence forever and ever.
Will be in his presence forever and ever. Ever and ever. Thank you for sharing. So you may have got some of those. You may have got more than that. You may have got different ones. But the idea of being in his word and thinking through all the things that we could praise and adore him for, and thinking through all the ways that we praise and adore him, both are beneficial, so thank you. So looking at day four. We have just a little bit of time. Did anyone have anything on the list that you really thought was pretty awesome that didn't get shared out loud? Let's go. We have three ladies that didn't get to answer, so why don't you share one of the things that you found? All flesh will bless his name. Very good. Miss Judy, and you can pull from any verse.
In verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways.
Righteous in all his ways.
Kind in all his deeds.
Kind in all his deeds, yes. And then Ruth, what was one that stood out to you?
I'm just living right now.
Okay. You're just venomous.
God is good.
Hey, it talks about God is good. Verse 9. Yahweh is good to all. Okay, moving on to day four. Day four, number two, said using your Bible study tools. So I want to kind of stop right there for just a second. Bible study tools. What, are we good with what the tools that we're using? Do we have questions on tools? Yes. Yeah, I'm seeing some yeses. Okay. So there are several tools that you can use. Book form, online form. We gave you a list in the appendix. If you want to turn to the appendix. Heather, can I have you turn there and I'm going to peek on your,
sure.
On your page there.
Oops.
Appendix 7, Bible study resources. So there's several listed there for you. Some of them are books. For word studies, you can use a Strong's Concordance. If you have an actual Strong's Concordance, that is great. You would look up the word in English. It would tell you the number for that and then give you some definitions. A good concordance will tell you the verses that are listed because there's usually multiple nuances for each of these words, and so you would want to make sure you're looking for how that word is used in that verse, and that will give you a little bit of better understanding. You can also just Google Strong's for whatever. Hello. Strong's for, you know, praise. And it will come up. Google is now using AI for almost everything. So be discerning as you are looking up and deciphering some of those things. One of the nice things about Google is if you were to type in something on Google, AI will come up and it'll give you a plethora of paragraphs. And at the end of every paragraph, there's a tiny little paperclip. That is a link to the actual source that they got that from, which is very, very helpful, because sometimes you'll read something and you'll be like, oh, that's interesting. And then you look and you're like, oh, that's because it's such and such a person or whatever. And they may not agree with us biblically. And so you just want to be discerning about how you use Google or online searches, especially now. Bible Hub, BibleHub.com. I think that is on there somewhere. Oh, Bible Study Resources Digital. BibleHub.com is one of the better resources. There are tabs for everything. It will give you tabs for commentary. There's an interlinearity tab, which basically allows you to type in the verse, and it will come up and it'll give you the Strong's number, the English word, the Greek or Hebrew word, the grammar. All of that is kind of all right there, and they're all links, clickable links. So that's one way you can do that. I do want to highlight something that I just became aware of. Bible Hub is amazing. And you go and you click on the word and you get all this information, and then you scroll to the very bottom and it says topical lexicon. Now there is a Vines topical, or not Vines. So it's a topical lexicon that was actually written. It's like a real book. And this topical lexicon is not that. It's now mostly AI generated, which, again, you need to be discerning when you're looking at that, because it's pulling from a plethora of resources, and it may be mostly true, but then, so you just got to be careful with some of those things. Something you can put on your phone, it's an app, a free app called Literal Word. Literal Word. There's 4 or 5 or 6 translations that you can use. So say you have your literal word on your phone and you click on Psalm 145, you can select if you want to read it in the LSB, in the NASB. I think there's a King James Version.
Yeah, and ESV.
And ESV. What's nice about Literal Word is you can click on pretty much every word, and it will then give you the Strong's number. Sometimes it will give you cross-references. Sometimes it will give you the definition of that word. So that's kind of nice when you're sitting in a conversation and you're talking to someone and you go, oh, what is that word? And you're like, just click on it, and there it is on your phone. So that's one of the tools that you can use. Any specific questions? We have just a couple of minutes that we can just kind of work through some of those. Any specific questions on study tools? Yes.
So this shows my ignorance, but why is the number, you always give the number like 1984, what significance?
Okay. So I don't know the full giant history lesson of Strong's, but the idea is the number is then, it's like a key system, if you will. So all the words in the Bible receive a number. The number then keys to either a Greek word or a Hebrew word. And that way it goes back to the kind of the original languages. It's just a systematized way of looking up words. So that word, hello, you can go anywhere in the Bible and Hebrew or Greek, and it will give you either the Hebrew number or the Greek number that corresponds with the definitions for how that word is used in scripture. So it's just a way to find words easy.
It also links them so that
yeah.
so that you know if a word in one verse is the actual same definition in another verse. If it's the same number, it's the same word.
Yeah.
And sometimes it will be the same word, but they're different numbers, so you know that there's a different context.
Yeah. So like in the NASB, the verse that we used last year at Refresh, forgive me, I'm drawing a blank on the verse right now, but it said, seek Yahweh, da-da-da, seek. So the same word, but when you look it up, they're actually two different words.
Yeah.
But we've translated them the same. So it's just a quicker way to find the definition of a word.
Jen,
so, yes?
It also goes the other direction when you're looking at a word in the Bible. And I can't think of anything, but even the word like book could be translated something else.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell which original word it goes to, because you can look up and have the same word be four or five different Hebrew words.
Exactly.
Depending on their
right. Yeah. So that's why those kinds of things, I guess, are nice, like that literal word app, because you can just click on each word. And then if you're a total nerd like me, you start making lists of everywhere those words are used. So then you can kind of link and trace how are they being used. When you do a word study, the idea is you find out what does the word mean in that verse. Then how does the author use it in the paragraph? Then how does the author use it in the chapter of that book? Then how does the author use it in the whole book? And then how do the surrounding authors use that word? So you really get a big picture of what does this word actually mean? Like the plethora of meanings of words. And that can give you just thrill your soul. But it can give you a lot of insight and depth into what you're learning. Let's see. I think blueletter.org or blueletterbible.org, similar to a Bible hub where you can type in any verse or any book of the Bible, and it will give you a plethora of things you can do with that verse. Look at it from an interlinear perspective. Look at it in terms of commentaries. Look at it in terms of parallel passages, parallel translations. If you want to know, okay, how is this verb, this idea, how does the ESV say it? How does NASB say it? How does Legacy say it? To kind of get a general idea about, how those things are translated. Any other questions on
Logos? Is pretty easy too, because you can, when you're looking up in the scripture, you just press on the word that you wanna do a word study mm-hmm. on, and it'll bring up all the information, the Greek, what it is.
Yeah. So Logos has a free version and a pay version. And the pay versions range from semi-expensive to kind of like a new car. But there is a free version. And for those that use Logos, there's a little bit of a learning curve, I think. At least there is for me. But it's not terribly hard to use if you have a computer or ways to look that up. Logos is a great resource as well. What else? Anything else? I think we're good. Yes.
So I just, since you had mentioned that app and I downloaded it.
Yeah.
They have Strong's Bible Concordance. So I downloaded it. It would be the right one, right? I mean, it's not like they can make one up.
Right. Yeah.
And it has like like in Genesis, it has in the beginning and it has the word, you know, the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then like God, and it has all these references, all these different numbers.
Right. Yeah, so if you have a spare 10 hours, go play with some of these tools. They can be very, very helpful. I'm sure that there are, if you get into a tool and you're like, I think I want to know this better, let us know, let your leader know. I'm sure we can find someone who actually is pretty proficient in that particular tool that can, you know, go have lunch with you and talk about it and figure that out. If that's something that you want to dive into more, I guess. So is that helpful? We kind of okay on Bible study tools now and understand what we're talking about? Okay. Day 4. So day 4, we were asked to describe one quality of God's attributes that stood out to you. One quality belonging to God from the list that you made in day 3. And if you were like me, you probably made 2 lists. But the idea is probably going back to question day 2, 3, number 3, those things that are ascribed to God, that belong to God. What were some of the things that we came across? I'm actually going to ask our leaders, because I think we're probably going to have time in our small groups to go around in our small group time and talk about those things. So, Vaughn, what was one of the attributes that?
I looked up from verse 5 and verse 12, of your majesty and of the majesty, which were 2 different numbers, but speaking of splendor, majestic, vigor, glorious, honor, magnificent, ornamental, specifically used of the majesty of God, clothed with honor and majesty.
Majesty clothed with honor. Yeah, nice. Helen.
I had God's loving kindness, verse 6. Is a profound, unconditional, and everlasting love rooted in God's character, manifested as faithfulness, mercy, grace, and compassion towards humanity, especially in the context of the covenant of his people. It is a persistent, tender love that seeks after people, forgives sins, provides comfort and blessing, and offers new chances every day. This divine quality is the basis of truth in God and is central to the Christian understanding of God's relationship with believers as exemplified by Jesus Christ's sacrifice for humanity.
Thank you. I wanted to highlight something that is good to consider when we are thinking about God's attributes. It's important when we're thinking about how does this all then relate to our prayer life? How do we praise and adore God in our prayers? It's important that as we become more familiar with God and His Word, that we're able to do more than just ascribe an attribute to God, like giving him a slogan or just saying he's holy and then stopping there. Those are great. Those are wonderful things to do, to acknowledge those things about God. But how then does that actually honor him if we don't really get a little bit deeper and think through how is he holy? What does he do that shows off him being holy? How does his holiness affect how I'm supposed to live? So we need to go past just naming the thing that we know. Because I know we're very well taught here, and we can just name off all the things, right? But the idea is we want to go beyond simply naming the attribute. Our aim should be to clearly define those attributes that we ascribe to him and explain how he demonstrates those attributes in his actions. And again, it goes back to how do we honor God in our prayers with a deep understanding that leads to genuine, wholehearted praise and adoration. And that only happens really when we understand deeply the attributes and how he exemplifies them. I was listening. Does anyone know Dr. Abner Chow?
Yeah.
Okay. Love his teaching. He was talking about this, and it just really struck me because he described it as so say you're with your person or you're with your friend and you say, well, what do you like about me? And they say, you're nice. You're like, that's it? Like, okay. Like, anything else? Like, you're really nice. Well, that doesn't really do. Okay, right? Like, we actually don't honor that person and honor that when we just stop short at saying, you're nice. But if you can say, I love that you're nice in how you handled this situation, this difficult situation with your friend. I love how you were so nice when someone came at you with hurtful things. I loved how you were so nice. Do you get my point?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to do with God, because that is what brings us to that place of deep adoration that affects our heart. We can get stuck up in the brain area, in the academics of it all, and not let it seep deep down into our hearts that affect adoration. So just something to think about. So moving on to day 4-4. How has praising God throughout your day changed your focus? This is almost like a day 5 question, so I'm really excited we get to talk about it here. How has praising God throughout your day changed your focus?
I got good.
What?
Being a photographer.
Being a photographer.
And your picture camera.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're taking a picture, and if you know how to use your camera, you can set it for all different things. So you can set it so I'm going to take her picture so she's really in focus, but she's really blurry and it looks like a painting back there. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's how it is. Like, we can, what, when you focusing on Jesus and his word, then that's your focus. But we can focus on all the little background things that are kind of blurry, and then he's out of focus.
Yeah.
He's not the center, you know? You want your focus to be that all day long.
All day long. Yeah. Yeah.
Not to be too fairy, but...
No, we're picture people.
We are.
We like the illustrations. Anything else? How did you guys answer this? Yes.
Oh, I just put that it really helps me get through the day. That I know I am never alone. And this way, I know that he knows that I know he is with me.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I think it also, we have such a tendency to focus on ourselves and our circumstances. And
yeah,
everything's about us.
Yeah, we have it.
It's what I'm doing, not what he's doing. And,
mm-hmm.
And so it takes your focus off of yourself, which
takes
is...
Takes your focus off yourself?
Yeah, and puts it on him.
Oh. Yeah, and puts it right on him. Yep.
Takes us from the here and now to look to God's everlasting kingdom and what's heavenly.
Yes, that eternal perspective. Have you found that when you are like eyes down, focused on the here and now, everything gets really amplified and crazy and kind of tense, and then as soon as you lift your eyes up, kind of calms down. Everything starts to become a little bit smaller, like less intense, less
overwhelming.
Yeah. I know that's the thing I kept thinking back on, same as Renee, just having that eternal focus. All of this temporal stuff is going to pass, but his rule and his reign is eternal. His goodness is never ending. His compassion is everlasting. And I get that. All the way into eternity, I get that. And so I can think about him and glorify him here, and thinking through how are my situations, you know, how are those things affecting how I'm thinking about God? Should they be? Or should be how I think about God affect my situations, right? And then when we do, we have this overflow of worship, of praise, and adoration, which is what we're talking about today. Super, super fun. So David began his psalm, looking at number 5. David began his psalm by saying he would exalt and praise Yahweh. How does he end the psalm?
Praising and blessing Yahweh.
Yes. He closes it with the same personal speaking praise of Yahweh. And then he invites everyone else. Right? My mouth will speak of the praise of Yahweh, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. And that's what we want. And that was, again, when you think back to why did God launch Israel into the world as a nation? To have that international agenda, to share who God is, who he is, and that his reign is eternal, and that he is the ruler of it all, and they need to submit to him. Well, I hope you enjoyed digging into Psalm 145. We didn't even come close to plumbing the depths of what we could have gotten out of Psalm 145. So if you're doing your verse mapping, keep going, because every week you have an opportunity to dig deeper and deeper into each of those verses. Mine out the gems there. In our small groups today, we're going to discuss how we can begin to include prayer, praise and adoration in our prayers. And that will be a good time. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we exalt your holy name. And we praise you for your unmatched goodness and your unfailing love. You are righteous in all your ways and kind in all of your works. Your greatness is beyond our understanding, and your compassion extends to all creation. Thank you for aligning our desires to yours, satisfying all of our needs, and for being near to all who call upon you in truth. May every generation declare your mighty acts, and may all creation join in blessing your name forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.